everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Chit Chat Cafe Live. This show airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at @artist_first. And now here are your hosts of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. It's Lisa. How are you? Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artist First World Radio. We have a great show for you tonight. First, we're going to start out with our resident bachelor specialist, Jesse Sinzak, and then we're going to be talking to author Samara O'Shea about mistresses, and then we're going to have Mr. Anthony Schiavo on from Legacy Aviation. We're going to be talking about jetting around in a private charter jet. So grab your martini, slip into something comfortable, lay back, put on your best high heels, and stay in chat with us for the next hour. Hi, Nance. I guess we should get back to Jesse, huh, because we're running a little late tonight. The news was running late.
Let's get right to it, then. I can't wait to talk about this bachelor stuff because it's getting boring. We want to liven it up with Jesse. We miss him.
I'm so sad about it. Oh, my God. I'm talking on Facebook. I'm daydreaming. I'm doing everything. We're paying attention.
We switched over to Cake Boss one night.
Right, yeah.
Switch back. It's not as good without Jesse. So
right.
Thank you for joining us, Jesse. Everyone remembers he's our bachelor contributor to Chit Chat Cafe Live. How are you, Jesse?
I'm great. Thanks for having me back on again, ladies. Yeah, I'll tell you what. This season of The Bachelor is, every season we always say, oh, could it get any more boring? Could it get any more boring? And
well,
every
it
season,
has.
They never seem to fail us, and it just seems to keep getting worse and worse. Whatever happened to the good old days where people used to come on this show to fall in love? I wrote my blog. If you tuned in tonight to see somebody fall in love, that show is called Sweet Home Alabama. It's on CMT. However, this was one heck of a train wreck of a Honda commercial this past week. So that was pretty much my thoughts on that. I'll tell you what, I think Ben is the perfect guy for them because they tell him to jump and he says how high, you know? So, I don't know. I don't even know where to start with this week. What do you ladies want to know about this week?
I can't even ask you a question because I wasn't paying attention. I'm telling you, it was boring. And Nancy and I are Bachelor fanatics. We've been watching it since Bachelor 1. And
yep.
This is just dull. I mean, Ben seems like a very, very nice young man. He's probably a very nice guy.
But what were they thinking having him as the Bachelor?
It's boring. There's so many really cool guys out there. Like, there's just so many, like, really guys with so much more charisma. Like,
my wife and I we've been talking about this forever, and my wife and I think that they should go and find like a successful athlete or successful entrepreneur that's not tied to the show in any way. You know,
exactly.
Go find an Olympic skier, or go find a professional football player or something, or even a college athlete, like a guy who's like kind of an up-and-coming guy who doesn't have money yet, but, you know, is going to do well for himself, you know? I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. The girls this week, they lacked a lot of class, and you could tell how insecure they were when Chantel walked into the room. And I think, you know, as much as that was staged, it is what it is. You know, they're doing anything they can to throw that lifeline out for the drama and to create, you know, the new DE. But they couldn't give her the rose for a few reasons. One, because that would open Pandora's box to any random that had ever been on the show to come back on. And two, I think they know that they would have had a little firestorm on their hands with girls walking off the show. So,
right.
For everybody who wanted Chantel to get the rose, it was already done before it started. I'll tell you what, this Courtney girl is going to go a long way on the show for the simple fact that she is full of drama. And she's doing it very, you know, kind of conniving. I've talked to a few people from this season's show, and they said, you know, turning back and watching it, it's very surprising to them because they didn't realize what girls were backstabbers. Everybody got along on the show as far as they were concerned. And so to see how the edit is coming out is kind of surprising to them is what I'm being told.
Hmm.
Yeah, I hope they liven it up because it's hard to stay with it.
Yeah.
So what's happening on the SmackDown?
Well, I'll tell you what, the SmackDown, we changed platforms this year. The program that we used last year with the beatdown was a $1,500 a month program. So this year we decided that we were going to find something a lot more affordable, and we're using a program called Vocal. So we've been having a lot of technical difficulties, a lot of echoing, a lot of things like that. So we're going with the creators of Vocal. We're going to do a little bit of training and find out how we can eliminate some of our issues. And I'm going to have some surprise guests for next week, so it should be good.
Well, go ahead, Lisa.
No, go ahead. I was going to change topic a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask if one of those guests would be Casey.
No,
or is he
Casey.
In too much trouble
with the law? I'm not going to disclose who the guests are, just for the simple fact that I don't want them to receive any phone calls from production, because that's what production's been doing, is trying to put the kibosh on my ideas so that they can slow me down enough to recreate them themselves. So I'm not going to give away who my arsenal of panel will be, but it's going to be good.
So did Casey get arrested for drunk driving?
I have heard lots of rumors, actually. You talked to Vienna the other day. All that I heard was on the Internet something about alcohol and being arrested. So I don't know what the actual charges were. I haven't talked to Casey about it yet, but all I can say is this, is everybody at some point in their life or their career goes through a slump, and this could be it for him. So, I wish the guy the best, and I hope that, if he needs help, he gets it.
Is he still with Vienna?
No, they are not together. Vienna is back with her college sweetheart.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, Jesse, did you hear on the news that they said that Casey's mugshot might go down as one of the best-looking mug shots in police record.
Really? Where did you read that?
I heard it on the Today Show or someplace, CNN,
wow.
Something.
That dude's going to get more press from his little drunken stupor than he will from being on the show. He better be careful.
Yes. Well, tell everyone, all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners, we do have your link, but tell them how they can tune in to Reality SmackDown.
Every week I post a link all over my Facebook, Twitter page. If you're not following me, search for me on Twitter and Facebook, Jesse Sinsak. If you want to log into my website, www.jessesinsak.com, you'll see the link at the top, and we post all of our shows after we record them live on the tab that says Reality SmackDown.
And we have that posted on our website, and it's on our Lisa and Nancy Chit Chat Cafe Live Facebook. We always like to share all that excitement.
You ladies rock.
You do, too. Kisses and hugs to Noah and Ann.
Thank you very much.
Bye. We'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And really, this year, the bats are... Oh.
I know. Oh. But you know what? It's really fun having Jesse Sinsak as our contributor on Chit Chat Cafe Live, and he just brings it to us, so it's great.
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be back with Samara O'Shea, and we're going to talk about mistresses.
Ooh. We'll be right back.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live on the Artist First World Radio Network.
Well, they don't call this Chit Chat Cafe Live after dark for no reason at all. Tonight, we are talking with Samara O'Shea, the author of Notes to Self on Keeping a Journal and Other Dangerous Pursuits, and For the Love of Letters. We're going to get into it tonight, girls. This is going to be good. Welcome to our show, Samara.
Thank you for having me on, ladies.
Well, we're excited. I was reading in Huffington Post about your letters that you write for people who, on behalf of people who are getting married. You help them write their vows?
Yes. Yes, I do.
How did you ever get involved in that?
Well, a few years ago, my roommate wanted to write a letter to a man she was dating, and she was having trouble, so she asked me if I'd help her, and I did, and she loved what I came up with, and I had so much fun in the process. I thought, well, this is the age of all things possible with the Internet. Why not start a website that does this? So I launched a website and offered to write letters for people if they needed help doing such a thing, and eventually, just recently, actually, it evolved into wedding vows.
That's exciting. Now, I personally, this is Nancy, but I think that Lisa would be great at that job, too.
Oh, really? Wedding vows?
And no, and writing letters for people on wedding vows. Yeah, I could picture you doing that.
I don't know about wedding vows, but I could write letters. Letters.
Yeah. So what?
Well, I think if you could write letters, wedding vow, I mean, in some cases, you know, a wedding vow, when people write their own, it's just kind of a love letter spoken out loud. If you're stepping away from the traditional vows. So you can probably do wedding vows also.
That's exciting. So you meet with the couple and they tell you
it's
their
mistress? It's all done over email. Oddly enough, even the letter writing business, somebody will email me the facts, the details, and I will give it back to, you know, I will sort of take it and give it what Emily Post calls a fresh turn of phrase. I will give it back to the person and they then are, if it's a letter, welcome to do whatever they want with it, copy it into their own hands or print it and send it, whatever they want. I don't know what happens to it after I write it.
Wow. And you're also the co-founder of ModernLoveRegrets.com.
Oh, Modern Love Rejects.
Rejects. Okay. And that is a website where you write essays.
We post essays. There is a column, a weekly column in the New York Times called Modern Love. And this is sort of the crown jewel of every writer's career, hoping to be featured in this column. And you audition. You send an essay that you think is worthy of Modern Love. And the editor, Daniel Jones, he reads hundreds of them a month. So, and there's only 52 weeks in a year. So not everybody gets their essay posted. So we offered a place, my friend Kiri Blakely and I, who's also an author, we offered a place for people to send us their rejected essays where we post them.
That is fun. That sounds exciting. Now, also in Huffington Post, I must ask you this. You wrote an article, I think you wrote this article, How Are Vaginas Doing 15 Years After the Vagina Monologues?
I did write that article. I'll take credit for it.
Tell us about that.
A friend of mine mentioned to me that that it had been 15 years since the Vagina Monologues came out, and I just read an article in the New York Times about how we're almost too comfortable saying the word now. It's said on sitcoms regularly, and I just thought, you know what? I think that was the point. I think that's what Eve Ensler wanted. I think it better to live in a world where people are too comfortable saying it than when they're afraid to say it, because I just think it's better for young people to not be afraid to ask their parents certain questions. And if they're afraid to say the word penis or the word vagina in front of their parents, then what other, you know, necessary questions are they afraid to ask? So this is an article just sort of celebrating how we, say the words too often now, and maybe that's an okay thing.
Exactly.
What I want to talk about is the myth of the attractive mistress.
Okay, I'm happy to talk about that.
I saw that online and I loved it. And I had to invite you on the show right away.
Excellent.
It's true. Look at Princess Diana and Camilla. I I mean,
yeah, yeah. That's probably, I think, the best example of the myth of the attractive mistress. Camilla Parker Bowles doesn't hold a candle to Princess Diana, and it's really, and we, it's not fair for us to say that because we don't know either one of them. But you know, just judging from a distance, and Tiger Woods was certainly sleeping with a lot of women significantly less attractive than his wife. So I started putting a lot of these together and realizing that celebrity men were, and some men that I've seen in my life too, but you know, celebrity men are something we can all relate or at least reference. And I realized, you know, these men are married to these, you know, gorgeous, talented women, and they're being unfaithful. It is kind of amazing.
Why?
My theory is that the ego is never satisfied. The ego always wants more. The ego always wants more money, and there's an infinite amount of money, so no money will ever satisfy you, and the ego always wants more women, so one woman will never do. So I think the male ego can feel a little down about itself when it's compared to a striking and very high-profile woman.
Well, tell us, did you do any research on this, or just like kind of what you just, observations you've made?
Observations I made, and that's what I love about the Huffington Post. If I'm saying something over a drink or over coffee to a friend, then I'll be like, oh, wait, I can turn that into a Huffington Post blog. and I want to be clear, when I say the male ego, I'm not talking about every single man. I think there are some men who are more governed by their egos than others.
Let's not even talk about a Tiger Woods kind of guy. It's like a regular schmo down the street. Like, he might have an affair with somebody in his office. It's like a plain Jane, and he might have like a gorgeous wife at home. What is it that these mistresses are giving them that their wives aren't?
I think just attention. After a while, any woman, whether she's Gisele Bündchen or Helen of Troy, any woman becomes just the woman you see every day. And that's the challenge of marriage. You're to work through that together and to try to keep things interesting and exciting and to cherish other things in each other, because the initial infatuation is going to fade. But some people want the initial infatuation. So they, you know, the plain Jane in the office is, she's, you know, listening to my every word, and she pays so much attention to me, and that just feels good.
Well, that's why Lisa and I say all the time, we are our husband's girlfriends to this day.
Yes. That's
yeah.
Great to hear.
But you still never know. There might be that plain Jane that's like a siren underneath. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the ones that stand out. It's not the gorgeous blonde with the flowing hair and the little figure. Sometimes it's a frump that looks like the librarian or whatever, not to be insulting to librarians, but you know what I mean? It could be something that's just...
There were a lot of comments. There were a lot of comments left on the blog, and that somebody said that, you know, a beautiful woman might be very sexually frigid, whereas, like you said, the plain Jane, she might be a wild child. You take the glasses off her, so that could be the reason too.
Wow.
Well, I guess that's why Samantha on Sex and the City had it right when she would dress up as all those different characters.
Yes, especially towards the end when she had all the wigs.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, I guess it's the choice. You know, you either keep it spicy or you wonder about a mistress.
A friend of mine who read the article, who has told me he's had an affair, reminded me, now, Samara, not everybody's having an affair just for sex. And I said, okay. and that's true. Somebody might just be having an emotional affair. They need something fulfilled that they don't feel they're getting from their marriage.
Hmm. Well, very interesting. So are you working on something new right now? Did you get a new idea for your next article?
It hasn't come to me yet, but it will, I'm sure. I was very excited with this one, just because there were over 800 comments, and I've never written a blog that received that many comments, so it was obviously a hot topic.
Wow. Maybe you would write a similar article or a continuation to see if you could get even more comments.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. You never know what will hit on the internet. Sometimes I'll post blogs and think this will be great, and then nobody pays any attention to it. And other times, you just have an idea, you put it together, and it gets all this cyber attention.
Right. Oh, girls, help me out for a minute. I lost a part of my thought. If the men are having an affair and she's the mistress, what if the wife is having the affair? What is the man called?
That's such a good question, because I don't think we have a word for it. I know what the husband who is being cheated on is called, a cuckold. We don't really use that word anymore.
Right. That's funny. Cuckold. Okay.
But there really is no word for the Mr. Mistress.
Yeah, that would be good to write about.
Mm-hmm.
People could send in their word, yeah.
It's as if we can't admit to ourselves that they exist, I think. So that's why we don't have a word for it.
Oh, that's funny. I never thought about that. Lisa, did you?
No. No, huh. I can't say I ever did.
Well, we're all going to brainstorm about this and come up with a word.
I think that about the word Schadenfreude, which is a German word that means taking pleasure in other people's pain. And we all do it, not like, hooray, earthquake in Haiti, to that extreme, but just like you lose your job, you find out someone else loses their job, it makes you feel better about not being the only one. But we don't have an English word for it, and I think that's because we just don't, as Americans or as British people, like to admit to ourselves that we feel that way.
Yes. Well, your books sound very interesting also. You're the author of Notes to Self on Keeping a Journal and Other Dangerous Pursuits. Tell us about that.
Well, the first book, For the Love of Letters, came from my website and writing letters for people. A publisher saw the site and asked if I would write a guide on letter writing, and of course I was thrilled and so excited that I had put the idea out there in the first place. And Note to Self is the follow-up book, and it's interesting because For the Love of Letters, I had to sort of justify, well, why would you write a letter this day and age? And there are many reasons. I'll give the main one is just sort of to let the person you're writing to know, whether they be a good friend or a lover, a family member, is to let them know they're worth the trouble of, you know, really going out of your way now to write a letter, because we don't have to write them anymore. Just by the act, you're letting them know that you mean a lot to me and I'm taking the time to do this for you. And it's something they'll have forever. I mean, text messages are fun, but they don't last very long. And Note to Self is a guide to journal writing, and I didn't have to justify that. Everybody still, even though, you know, we are in the digital age, everybody still recognizes that keeping a journal is therapeutic and good for the soul and just a good way to get to know yourself a little better. So I write about writing in these two books.
Well, I think that's exciting because I love writing. I always have. I write constantly. Everything I feel, I write lists and notes and fun. I love to write. So I have a fun idea.
Okay.
I'm not a writer like you are. I'm mostly just a note taker or just fun thoughts, okay? Oh, this would be good. If you could do a follow-up to see how many more comments you would get on the mistress idea, maybe bring in Chit Chat Cafe Live girls wanting to know about what's the man called. Let's think of a good name for him.
So we all get together and come up with a name?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I think that'd be fun. It would be very interesting to see what people wrote in. What should the man's name be?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I agree.
Thought.
I think we'll get a lot of interesting responses.
That'd be fun. Well, we've had fun talking to you.
We hope you'll come back again, because you are delightful. You're so cute.
Oh, thank you. So are you guys. Thank you so much for finding me. I just want to mention my website before I go, because I haven't said it yet.
Absolutely. Tell us the name of your books and your blog and your website. Tell us everything.
Okay. So my website is letterlover.net. My books are For the Love of Letters, A 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing, and Note to Self on Keeping a Journal and Other Dangerous Pursuits. And my name is Samara, and I'm so impressed you guys pronounced it correctly right off the bat.
Are you from Ireland? Were you born in Ireland?
I was not. I was just have a very Irish last name.
Well,
I've been to Ireland, though.
We're going to put your website and information up on our website, too, so our listeners can click and find you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll have you back, and we'll be in touch.
Great. I will keep you posted on the Mr.
Are you in New York?
I'm in Philadelphia.
Oh, you're in Philadelphia. I should come and meet you sometime.
Yes, let's have real coffee.
Where in Philly do you live? In the Center City?
In Fairmount. Yeah, right behind the Art Museum.
Oh, okay, yeah. I have a cousin who lives on 29th and Aspen.
Oh, I'm on 26th, just off of Aspen.
Oh, my gosh.
It's an old brewery building.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is. That's great.
Small world. I'll be in touch.
So come visit your cousin, see me, we'll have coffee. It would be great.
Absolutely. Bye.
Thank you, ladies.
We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Bye. Well, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup and Tavissi Bras, and you can find their links on our page, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about private jets.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. We have a very interesting guest next. We're going to be talking to Mr. Anthony Schiavo, and he's one of the owners of Legacy Aviation. It's a private charter jet company. Is that correct, Anthony? Am I saying it right?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So tell us about your business. It's a cool business. And jet setting, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, it's definitely sexy on that end, but at the same time, it is a business. What we are is we're jet charter brokers, and we offer charter on demand for clients who would rather just pay by the hour than own their own plane or enter into a long-term, very cost-intensive fractional position on an aircraft. We can basically supply just about any jet anywhere in the world in about 4 hours, any size, any type, to do just about any type of trip.
Give us an idea of, like, some of your services. Like, what do you do?
Well, obviously, there's the flight, and and then the ancillary services around the flight are really the luxury amenities. We also offer some private security, as well as... ground amenities. We basically act as concierges. We can basically take care of a client from the minute they leave their home until the minute they return, and that might involve 6-7 star accommodations around the world, luxury type auto rentals in just about every city, and just about anything a client might need from us, we would find a way to source for them while they're traveling with us. But the business is built around the private aviation, you know, the actual flight. And we source, we've got access to thousands of planes around the world, varying in sizes from small light jets that seat, oh, four, six, sometimes eight passengers. And then we've got mid-size and access to what are known as heavy jets, which are the Gulfstreams and Challenger 604s, aircraft of that type that can seat 10, 12, 14, sometimes even 16 passengers and travel halfway around the world without stopping. So basically it depends on the client's needs for a specific trip. So we offer the flexibility of being able to offer a given client a light jet on a trip that they might be taking tomorrow, maybe a short hop, and at the same time next week a heavy jet with, you know, multiple seats to take maybe a team of people over an ocean or across the country.
Okay, somebody calls you up. I call you up. Oh, I want to go to Dubai tomorrow, and I need a hotel, and I need a limo. Would you be able to do that for me?
That's when we jump into action, absolutely. If you wanted to go to Dubai tomorrow, first off, we've got to make sure...
How much is that going
to
cost me? How much is that going to cost me?
Well, you know, it's not, I can tell you, it will not be inexpensive, Lisa. It is, we are talking about halfway around the world. We would need an aircraft that could make it there without stopping or possibly having to stop for fuel in Europe before getting to Dubai, but it's got to be able to make it across an ocean. So we're talking about a heavy jet trip, which does move for several thousands of dollars an hour. And you'd be talking about a round trip, upwards of 20, 25 hours on the airplane. So it's quite expensive to go back and forth to Dubai. But there are clients who do it all the time. Depends on where you'd be leaving from. One of the nice things about flying private is, there is no airport hassle of 2 hours for security checkpoints and things like that. We literally get clients, from the car into the... out onto the plane and into the air in a matter of minutes. So it really is a time convenience factor, as well as the privacy and luxury amenities on board the aircraft.
So your average person's not doing this. It's really just really high roll, you know, really wealthy business people. You're not going to get your average family of four going to Disney on something like this, are you?
Well, ironically enough, when you say the average family of four going to Disney, no. However, private travel is becoming more and more popular for what we would refer to as the bucket list trip. You know, that 50th birthday gift, where we're going to take that private jet down to Disney or on a golf outing or something like that. It is becoming much more accessible, and we aim to make it much more accessible to the average person, even though it is quite expensive. A large majority of our business is corporate travel, and then a lesser degree is sports and entertainment figures and whatnot, and luxury vacations. But the business travel that takes place in the private aviation realm basically has to do with a few things: time-sensitive needs on a corporate level. Anybody that's ever traveled for work knows that if you've got to make a couple of meetings in a couple of different cities, it's going to take you a few days if you're flying commercial. Flying private, you can get to four or five, maybe six different cities, hold six different meetings in the same day, and be back in your bed at night. So that goes a long way and makes it worth the money. And then the other factor for corporate travel is the privacy on board. You can hold a proprietary meeting. The seating on board most of these aircraft is configured so that you're facing each other. You can, and there's tables. You can hold a meeting on board and actually get work done while you're in the air. Mm-hmm. In contrast to being on a commercial airliner, even in first class, you're not facing each other. And even in first class, there are, people listening in. So you can't really hold a proprietary type discussion about company business while you're on a commercial airliner. So private aviation allows the business travelers and executives opportunity to, one, get more done in a workday because your time is very valuable, and at the same time also work on the plane to a much more in-depth degree.
Hmm. It's interesting. Now, how do you get your clients?
Good question. Clients are actually a very, very, very valuable commodity in our business, and I hate to even call them commodities, but obviously not everyone gets to do this. So our biggest charge is to make sure we keep the clients we have, and we do that by exceeding their expectations on every aspect. We timeliness, luxury, basically the ability to meet every need they could possibly have and anticipate every need they can possibly have. The opportunity comes up to gain a new client several different ways. Obviously, we do quite a bit of networking in the corporate world, in the luxury world. We try and get our face out there and our company name out there, and we do some major networking incentives around the world. And then, you know, it is the aviation business. There are, unfortunately, times where our competitors are known to mess up every now and then. And, you know, maybe not back up a flight with another plane. And, unfortunately, a plane gets snowed in somewhere, and a client may end up, late for where they need to go. We back up every flight with another plane. You know, we make sure that we have absolutely no chance of disappointing a client. But when our competitors do, we make sure we're there to get a shot at their next flight. And it basically is a networking job, and it's a sales job, and it's an exposure job, PR job. But it really comes down to valuing the clients that you have and really exceeding their expectations, so that, you know, there's that brand loyalty, that company loyalty, that client loyalty. Because we don't just want to acquire a client, we're much more concerned with being able to keep that client for the long haul and be their private aviation partner of choice.
Now, could you go into detail about that? How would you find out, say, if there was someone who hired a different service and they were left stranded? How would you find out about that to send in one of your planes?
Well, obviously in the world of internet connection and wireless connection, bad news travels fast.
Okay.
A bad experience gets spread like wildfire through text and through emails and whatnot, to a degree today like it never has before. Bad news travels, good news travels fast, bad news travels faster. So unfortunately, when these things do happen, we make sure we have our ears open. We know when there's a problem. We know when there's a plane that isn't where it's supposed to be, just through the operators and through the private aviation network. And at that point, we kind of know when our opportunities arise. Unfortunately, our competitors are good. We've got some good competitors. We've got some competitors that aren't as service-oriented as we are or we strive to be. Quite frankly, some of our competitors are actually our best advertising.
Well, that's interesting. Now, you talked earlier about the amenities on your plane. Tell our listeners some of those that we can look forward to.
Well, first off, I'd love to speak about that. A private jet isn't necessarily a private jet. It's, we'll talk about a Gulfstream 4, which is a large, heavy jet, actually a very nice plane. Those planes have been in production for almost 30 years now. So a two-year-old Gulfstream 4, or what's known as a G450 now, is much more current, much more safe, much more fuel efficient, much more luxurious than, say, a 30-year-old Gulfstream 4. In the first, amenity category is we only source aircraft for our clients that are 8 to 10 years old or newer, which is basically a baby in terms of aircraft. Our clients are guaranteed to get new equipment. The second luxury amenity that we never fail on is we offer hot, catered food plated on China on every flight. As a matter of course, these are luxury aircraft. No matter how you slice it, this is a big ticket item to fly on one of these things, even for a short trip. we wouldn't dream of putting prepackaged sandwiches or you know, cold salads and cans of soda on an aircraft. We make sure that every flight is actually catered and catered well. We also offer private security if a client needs it. Some of our clients are well-known celebrities. Some of them are lesser-known yet extremely wealthy individuals that need private security to travel with. We're the only private aviation company in the world that has a sister company that is a private security company. So we've got access to not just bodyguards, armed and unarmed, but we can put security teams in place for when people are traveling overseas or to some challenging destinations, like we had a trip going to Haiti recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Central America. There are some dangerous spots in the world, unfortunately, that companies do need to do business in. And we can supply personal security with the private aviation. And then we've got all the ground support. You know, when it comes to luxury car rentals, and right down to event tickets for anywhere, you know, Broadway, Vegas, reservations for, say, French Laundry out in Napa, which typically takes three months to get. You know, we're asked to get those on demand for tonight. You know, it comes at the last minute. We got to find a way to get that done. So we pride ourselves on not just being a private aviation company, but a concierge-level private aviation company that can pretty much acquire any service for a client on the ground or in the air, as long as it's within reason, obviously. And that's,
with flight attendants?
The larger planes do have flight attendants, yes. These are the creme de la creme of flight attendants. These ladies are far better qualified, no disrespect to the commercial flight attendants, but these ladies are typically very safety-oriented. They are also, in most cases, trained in culinary arts because they've got to prepare food on board to a certain degree, and it's got to be presented properly and whatnot. So most of them have been to culinary arts school. Very well-rounded people that need to be very service-oriented to a much more deeper degree than what you would find on a typical commercial airliner. So, yes, there are flight attendants. And they are very, very good, and they're also the face of our company in the air. So we're very particular about the crews that our operators put on board the aircrafts that our clients are going to be flying on.
Well, when Lisa and I were cheerleaders for the Philadelphia Eagles, we had auditions. How do you select these flight attendants?
Well, we actually do not select the flight attendants ourselves. Our operators, the owners of the aircraft, basically are responsible for the crew. But we know which operators have the good crews and which ones have the crews which need improvement. So we know who the good crews are, we know who the great flight attendants are, and we typically strive to source those planes and those crews for our clients.
Where do your planes take off? From where?
Well,
is it any airport that you need, or does it have to be a certain place?
Pretty much, depending on the size of the airplane, you know, these planes are accessible in thousands of aircrafts around thousands of airports around the world. When airline traffic is pretty much contained to a couple of hundred airports around the world, private aviation can get in and out of literally thousands of airports in the country. Excuse me, and that many more overseas. So yes, we can get in and out of smaller airports much quicker than, you know, you don't have to wait for commercial airline traffic out on the runway. Lisa, if you've ever flown out of Philadelphia International, you know that even when you get out there, you still have to wait behind 19 other planes before you take off.
Yeah.
We fly out of much smaller airports that are typically closer to the client's home. So it is much more convenient than flying commercial. But that many more destination airports and departure airports nationwide and worldwide.
Do charter planes, like say you have a snowstorm, are they more likely to take off, or is it the same thing as like with the commercial airlines?
Well, safety comes first, obviously.
You don't have the backups like they do, or do you?
Actually, we do have that. We do make sure we back planes up, absolutely, as I said that earlier. But, you know, it does depend. The weather is an important factor in flying anywhere. Obviously, safety is never jeopardized. So if it's a blizzard, typically there aren't any planes going anywhere. But by the same token, we have a much easier time getting aircraft in and out of these smaller airports during poor weather than you would have getting a commercial airliner out of a major airport. They're easier to clear. Operations are much more smoother, and there's not as much traffic in and out to worry about. So, yes, you know, it's much easier to travel privately during a time of difficult weather conditions than it would be to travel on an airline, because on an airline you've got their traffic. Those planes are scheduled to be in and out of certain airports by a certain time, numerous times a day, and one hiccup interrupts the entire system. Private aviation is a little bit different. There's a little bit more flexibility in the system. And to answer your question simply, yes, we have an easier time with weather than commercial does.
Now, how do you decide what planes are going to be in your fleet? Do you go inspect them? Do you go look at them all? Or how do you just do them online? How do you figure out what planes you're going to use?
Well, we do hand select our operators, and we are familiar with most of the aircraft out there. We know when a new aircraft gets delivered to an operator or an owner. We do, fortunately, my partner and myself, we do get to fly on these things from time to time. So we know where the good planes are. We know where the newest ones are. And we know which are the best operators. We've got a network of operators that we're accustomed to doing business with. They're accustomed to doing business with us. And typically, when those planes come in or out of the airports that we are stationed at, we certainly take a look at them and inspect them and say, hey, that is a beautiful new Challenger. The next time we have an opportunity to put a client on a Challenger, we're going to try and source this one.
You need the Chit Chat Girls to go with you next time.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'll tell you what, if we have it open, we'll take the Chit Chat Girls, absolutely.
Now, when I asked you about the amenities,
yep.
I also thought you might describe some of your clients and guests might want specific champagne. Do you recall an order that you thought, oh, this is really unusual? Something they'd want in flight.
Well, that's an excellent question, Nancy. Typically, we try to anticipate, and we ask a lot of questions up front. With our repeat clients, we know what their preferences are, and that's why they use us. We know that they're expecting, the Dalmore single malt. We know that they're expecting Capital Grille food. We know what their expectations are. Sometimes they may even have some, because our clients are international. They may have some menu restrictions or, you know, just for religious issues or things like that. So, I can honestly say there wouldn't be a request under the sun that would surprise me because we've heard just about everything. But by the same token, they do have their expectations, and it's up to us to not just anticipate, but to ask as many questions up front to get an idea of the type of expectations that they have, especially when they're a new client. Because the last thing we want to do is disappoint them. But are you asking me for an example of a crazy request of what
yeah.
most of us would consider to be an odd
unusual.
Request?
Unusual.
Let me think. You know what? Believe it or not, a lot of people want to travel with their pet. Yeah, pets move. Many high net worth individuals don't go anywhere without their dogs or their cats. And it's not like the airline. Most times, there is absolutely no trouble bringing a pet on board, especially to clients willing to pay the premium for the plane. Like I said, there's nothing that we would deny them. Some operators permit pets, some don't. But crazy requests, certain kinds of pet food that isn't necessarily pet food. little Fifi needs Capital Grille too.
Right.
That type of thing. And that's kind of crazy.
What's the most outlandish request you've ever had?
Wow. good question. You know, I wouldn't want to comment on that, because what's outlandish to me is perfectly normal to someone else, and that's the reason. That's the reason it's a request in the first place. So I'm gonna plead the fifth on that one, because for the fear that a client might be listening in.
You know what I'm also thinking might be fun.
What?
Have you ever had a client want the airplane on the 4th of July when the fireworks were going off?
That's a good question.
Now, the reason I ask him, my daughter happened to be flying that same night, and she said it was the most gorgeous view. Have you ever had that request?
Well, we haven't necessarily had it as a request. We've had it happen just as a matter of travel.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, on our Facebook page for New Year's Eve, we've got a shot that was taken, I believe, over New York of fireworks going off at midnight.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, the plane was en route, and someone snapped a picture of the fireworks at midnight. But, you know, if you want to see fireworks in that mode, the best thing to do is charter a helicopter, you know, out of the heliport in New York or the heliport in any city where there would be fireworks. And really, because a helicopter can obviously fly static. You know, they can put it up in the air and keep it in a certain spot. You can watch the whole fireworks show without moving from the air. And that is that actually is a beautiful thing to see. So a helicopter charter would be better, and we do helicopters.
Well, your website is fabulous. I love looking at the planes with their leather seats that are gorgeously tan and beautiful.
Yeah, your typical interior on a new jet getting delivered today is going to be a multi-million dollar interior design job. The finest hardwoods, the finest leathers, finest carpeting. It truly is a different world than what most of us are used to, and it really is the lap of luxury. And if you ever get the opportunity to come on one of our flights, and I hope you do, you'll get to experience that firsthand and realize why the people who do this really don't travel any other way.
Well, we have you on our website, and we're hoping all of our Chit Chat Cafe Live listeners internationally will want to book Legacy Aviation.
Absolutely. I mean, we fly internationally every day. We've got flights going international, taking off from European destinations, Far East destinations, to other continental destinations as well. I mean, we can pretty much get from any airport to any airport with just about any type of aircraft. So the international work for us is a big part of our business. And we would love to have the opportunity to quote a flight for any one of your listeners that might have a need or a desire to fly private. We will be happy to facilitate a quote immediately. We turn our quotes around in about 24 hours, sometimes sooner than that. We get some demands. Hey, I've got to travel tonight, and we've got to get 8 people to Chicago. And, that sends us into motion. We've got to make that happen.
Well, that sounds great. You gave us a lot of good information tonight. Will you come and visit us again?
I would love to come and visit you.
I know you want to be on our next panel the next time we have a Mentel All, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to be on
Mentel All. Right, yeah, we're going to have you back. For
yeah,
sure.
We would like that.
Great. I appreciate
you. You're fabulous.
I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, you have a very good radio voice. Excellent.
I do. Really?
Yeah, you do.
Yes,
all right.
You're
well,
really wonderful.
That's nice to hear. I appreciate your time.
We appreciate you.
All right,
well,
great.
We'll have you back on. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, guys. Lisa, all Nancy, right. It's a pleasure meeting you both.
Thank
bye.
You.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was so much fun.
I wish he would take us with him.
Oh, fun. Fireworks or no fireworks, we don't
right,
care.
Right.
Well, we're thanking all of our sponsors tonight, St. Croix Orthopedics, Laura Geller Makeup, and Intimacy Bras. A big thank you always to the best producer, Corey King. Enjoy his show, Corey King Music, on Artist First every Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
We'd like to thank Jesse Sinsack, and we'd like to thank Samara O'Shea and Anthony Shiva from Legacy Aviation for being our great guests tonight. And we want to encourage you to go listen to our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down to our older shows, just click on the date, and you can enjoy some of our older shows with some of the great guests that we've had. So good night, Nancy. It was a fun show.
Oh, yes, Lisa. Good night.
Yes, and I'd like to leave you with a little quote, just a cute little quote, saying you really should try to be a Fruit Loop in a world of Cheerios. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.